When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You are very welcome to the Ireland's Birth Stories podcast. My name is Cora Gernon. I created the space for women to share all of the details surrounding their pregnancy, labour, birth and everything in between without feeling shy about the detail. Sit back and enjoy over 100 hours of birth stories told by you, the listeners. Hello. It feels like it has been such a long time since I shared an episode and I haven't looked back to see when that was. So as I think some of you know, I lost my laptop, completely just went blank, nothing. And I still haven't been able to get anything off it. So my recordings, all my files to do with the podcast, all of the dates booked for the next 18 months, weekly and bi-weekly for the next 6 months, I have gone out of my calendar. So that is what I've been trying to do. That is more important, to make sure that people know that I'm not blanking them or haven't forgotten them. But in saying that, I'm just going through emails to try and see who I booked in, and I'm definitely going to miss a few people. So if I booked you in to share your birth story and I haven't been in touch, send me an email, let me know, and I will just put it in my calendar so I can send you that Zoom link. And I don't double book people because that's I've kind of lost control of the calendar. I have everyone that has sent me an email or I've had a chat with, I think I have in my calendar, but please prompt me, please get in touch if we spoke and I booked you in and you have a date, please remind me of that date. I just didn't realise I wasn't backing everything up, so I have learnt and I now have everything on my phone, so I can look at my calendar on my phone, and I didn't have the two connected, which is just silly. I'm married to an IT man, he does all IT stuff, and he just assumed that I knew this. Anyway, we have all, along with everybody else, been battling sickness, like constant sickness, for about 6 weeks now, and we've been on, with three of, out of four of us have been on antibiotics with very poor results. So I'm sorry if things have been slacking between updating. Like, I have so much that I'd love to do, but unfortunately right now life is just far too important in my house and with my family that I can't pull myself away to get these bits done. Or if I do have time, it's to rest or do something else. I just can't really focus on the podcast as much as I would like to, but I know the time is coming when I can. So I probably won't have two episodes out a week until the sickness is gone and until I have everyone booked in as I need to. I just have to make sure I have everybody booked in. I don't want to miss any stories. And I also know that there is a lot of people that I need to get back to who have submitted their stories, and everyone, I share everybody's stories. So don't think that I'm not going to. I'm just finding it hard to motivate myself to get stuck into things again, but you will 100% have the opportunity to share your story, and I can't wait to listen to every story. Anyway, I'll stop going on. I had a lovely chat with Gillian last week, who talked me through her two births, the births of her sons James and Patrick. She had to, her first experience, she mentions that she wasn't really prepared for what was ahead, as in birth-wise, and she also was surprised about how difficult her postpartum experience was, or postpartum is in general. And then her little boy came very quickly, so she was told with her second pregnancy that her baby was going to come quick, and basically any sensations that she had, she was to go into hospital straight away. He did come quick, very quickly. And she knew herself and her body. She remained calm. She knew she had to stay focused. And she gave birth in the assessment area of the... She then talks me through being diagnosed with postnatal anxiety and how she overcame that with the support of her husband and her GP. And then we have a little chat at the end. So I will let you enjoy Gillian's story, and I will chat to you at the end of the episode. So Gillian, you're very welcome to Ireland's Birth Stories podcast. I'm delighted to sit down and have this chat with you. It's been, I know we booked this chat ages ago, so it's really nice to sit down and share your stories and listen to your story. So do you want to just give us a little introduction to you and your family, and then we'll chat about your experiences?
Yeah, my name is Gillian. I am living here in Trim, County Meath, with my husband and our two sons, James and Patrick. There is 20 months between them, and I'm staying at home to be a mom, and I love it.
Yeah. Hard work, but oh, yes. Lots of moments, yeah. Yeah.
There's some days Peter comes home and I'm like, take them. Other days I'm like, oh no, I had a lovely day.
So. It does balance itself out. Like when you have that good day or that moment in a bad day, it feels really nice and really rewarding. So do you want to talk us through your first experience with conception? So your first time conceiving your baby.
So with James, we were married. And once we got married, I went off the pill. I have been on it since I was 17. Okay. So kind of just wanted to get off it anyway. And it wasn't that we were trying or not trying, but we had a big trip planned to go to Vietnam. And I said, I kind of don't want to get pregnant before that. But I said, if it happens, it happens, whatever. So then we went to Vietnam and we said, oh, we'll try after Vietnam. But by the time we got home, we were.
Oh, cool.
We knew after 2 or 3 weeks that I was like, I took a good few pregnancy tests and they were all coming up positive. So then when I went to the doctor, I was like, well, such a negative experience. But he was like, why do you think you're pregnant? And I was like, well, I just have the feeling. I was like, I don't know, there's something in me. He was a very young doctor. And he was like, okay, we'll take a pregnancy test. And he goes, no, you're not pregnant. And like, you know how you're all excited and hyped up, and my whole face dropped. I was like, what? I was like, I was so excited. Then he sent me for bloods and he rang me up and he was like, yeah, if I was a betting man, I'd say you're not pregnant. And I was like, but all my pregnancy tests are coming up, home birth ones were coming up positive. I felt it. There was just, I knew something. And I was like, Peter, let's go to another doctor. And I went to my old doctors. And straight away he goes, yeah, you're pregnant. He goes, I don't know what test he did or what happened. So he goes, you're pregnant. So to really clarify, when I was a teenager, I never had regular periods. It was always irregular. Nothing else wrong, like just irregular. So the second doctor didn't know where I was in the cycle, so he sent me for an early scan, and at 6 weeks that was, and all they could see was just the pregnancy sac, so they could tell me they were like, you are pregnant, just the baby's not, what's the word, I don't know, it's just a, you know, all you have is a pregnancy sac. So they were like, come back in 2 weeks and we'll see. So I got again 2 weeks later, and yeah, there was a baby inside. So all that kind of, it was kind of up and down, and yeah. I was like, am I not, like, that was the kind of annoying bit, like the excitement. I was like, do I tell, obviously I really wanted to tell my mom and dad because they were just about to go to Australia, and I was like, I can't wait till they're coming back in about a month. I was like, I have to tell them. So I was excited to find when I did the 8 week scan, they confirmed, they were like, yeah, you are pregnant.
And did you have, apart from that feeling, did you have any early pregnancy symptoms?
I was nauseous.
Okay.
Unbelievably nauseous, but never sick. Never, like, so I was eating ginger nuts to save my life. And I hate them now. I cannot stand them. And the funny thing is, my husband is ginger. So everybody's like, oh, you have a craving for ginger nuts.
Of course they were.
Terrible joke. And my kids didn't turn out ginger. So, no, that was just it. It was just nauseous. I tried all the different things, but ginger nut biscuits were the only thing that would kind of settle it. Yeah.
And how did your pregnancy progress? How did you feel then throughout the latter stages of your pregnancy? And actually, were you the first amongst your friends to have a baby, or was it with the people around you that were pregnant and had newborns?
I was the first.
First, okay.
I was kind of very naive as well. Like, my mom kind of, it was still taboo to her to tell me what was coming ahead. And like, she was like, oh, it's tough. She didn't tell me what was tough. Like, was it the pregnancy, the birth, that? Like, I definitely didn't know about the after care. But sorry, your question was, the third trimester was, I got pelvic pain. So James was just pushing really down, and he was a big baby. So they kept saying that to me. They were like, oh, you're just, it's relaxed all down there, and he's pushing down. And I was like, great. So I could barely walk. I work as a Montessori teacher, so I was kind of always on my feet. But then I was trying to sit down, and then like, I found you had to have a balance of sitting and standing. Like, if you sat too much, it was sore. If you stood up too much. So kind of luckily, lockdown happened there for the last month. James was born in April, sorry. So the last month I got to have where I could just be at home and relax. And it was kind of a blessing in disguise for COVID. Now it was all the other stuff. The going to appointments then on my own was a bit hard, because I'm terrible at information or remembering anything. Like, Peter would remember everything. So like, I'd come out with the appointments and they'd be like, what did they say? And I'm like, I can't remember. And he's like, oh, will you just like write it down or call me or something? So like, even to tell you this birth story, I had to ask Peter, like, what happened with James? Like, I feel like it's just a fogged memory. I have to ask him. He was like, do you want me to come on? Sorry. Do you want me to come on as a special guest? So I was like, no, I'll try remember.
Someone made a really good point to me, because I would be really bad at retaining information. It's like when I meet someone new, I have no idea what they're saying to me. I can't remember their name, or I can't even remember the conversation. And someone said, at these appointments, it's a good idea to record the conversation, obviously with mention it to the healthcare professional, so you can then listen back to it afterwards with like a clearer mind. Because I'd be quite similar. Like, I can't tell you what I did yesterday or even earlier on today without really thinking about it. So I'd be the same, yeah.
So I was just kind of foggy at the end. Yeah. So poor Peter was missing out on all the information. I had to like straight away tell him, or I'd forget it.
Tell me, throughout your pregnancy, did you attend any classes, obviously, before lockdown?
Okay, so we were the last antenatal class to happen before lockdown. And I do remember it was a Saturday full of really happy, excited mothers, as should be. And then, like, they were just really conscious about COVID, but it wasn't as serious or strict and stuff. So we could talk to other moms, and I liked that. And I kind of got to know, they said they weren't going to show us a video of the birth, that they would just talk us through it. So I still wasn't 100% sure what was to come. I don't think anyone on their first, do they? But I'm glad I did get the antenatal class. Like, I think the week after we went into the big lockdown, that nobody could move. So I am grateful I got to go to one.
So do you want to talk me through your early signs of labour?
So, I'm trying to think. 40 weeks, James, this is what I mean, I have to appear. 40 weeks and 4 days, they went, they brought me in and they said, do you want to have a sweep? And I said, ah, yeah, I don't know what that is. So I was like, yeah, okay. And the shock of my life, I tell everybody, because nobody told me, it is, if you're not ready for it, it is scary. I found it scary. She never told me what it was or anything. She just kind of did it. And I was like, oh. And obviously I tensed up, which makes it so much worse. And I held my breath, obviously making it way worse. And I went home to Peter and I cried. I was like, that was so sore. I was like, I don't think I can give birth. I don't think I can give birth. Peter's like, you're fine, you're fine. So she did mention, she was like, you're going to have cramps and that's totally normal. And then it might just go away. And I was like, okay. So I went to bed that night and I was fine. And then the next morning I woke up and I was like, oh, I kind of leaned over and I was like, Peter, like, this is intense, whatever it is. And I went to the toilet and I'd lost my mucus plug. And Peter walked in. He was like, what is going on? He shouldn't have walked in. So kind of then all that day, it was coming and going. But one, I was nervous because it was COVID. So yeah. I was like, I don't want to go to a hospital if I'm actually not in labor. Two, they were like, oh, when you have your first baby, there's always what's it called, Braxton Hicks or fake labor pain. So I just spent the day at home going, I think this is fake, whereas Peter was like, I'm packing the bag in the car, we're going. And I was like, no. And eventually at one point I couldn't stand or even sit, and Peter's like, that's it, get in the car. So I rang the hospital and they were like, yeah, you can come on in, but we'll have to check if this is labor, because I was kind of calm, but I was like, okay, I don't think this is it. I don't think it's it. So rang the hospital at 8, arrived up there at 9, and Peter had to wait outside because of COVID restrictions. And they were, so this is the MLU, it was the midwife-led unit. So there was no doctors. It was very calm. I had my own room and the midwife checked me and she was like, yeah, just go to the bathroom there. And I went to the bathroom. I couldn't even sit on the toilet. So I was like, this is tough. I was there on my all fours. Was the only way I could relax, but like wouldn't be as intense if I was on all fours. I found it easier. So then she was like, okay, I'll finally check it. And this was at 10 o'clock and they were like, yeah, you're 5 centimeters. Right. Do you want to call up your husband? I was like, yes. I was like, I wanted him to come all the time. So then they were like, do you want a bath? And I was like, yeah, I'd love a bath. I kept actually asking for the bath every time I went to the antenatal appointments. I was like, can I have a bath? Can I? And they were like, yeah, you can have a bath. So I found the bath great for just, because James was such a big baby that he kind of lifted the weight off me, my back. I was able to relax a bit more. And then I was on gas and air. So whenever I was having contraction, I was on gas and air. And then I just handed to Peter. But then I got the urge to push. And she was like, you have to get out of the bath. They don't have a birth bath yet. So I got out and it was getting more and more intense. And I remember I was like, I just want to go to sleep. And they're like, yeah, but that's not an option. And they were asking me to try different positions. I went on a birth stool. I was like, no, it definitely did not like being on my back. Like when I was not continuous monitored, but like she would get me to lie on my back just to check the heartbeat. And that was it. And to obviously how dilated I was. I wasn't continuous. I didn't have that machine on. I don't know. Is that what it's called? Continuous.
Yeah.
Monitored. And I preferred that because I didn't want to be stuck to the bed anyway. Yeah. So I finished up with me on my knees over Peter's knees, and like Peter was massaging my head, but once I had a contraction, he had to stop. Like, I was very, very strict, but I wasn't shouting or giving out, but I was just like, I kind of was quiet. Peter said, like, you didn't talk, you didn't want to look at anyone, you just wanted to, I was focused, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds like
So sorry, I actually have notes.
That's brilliant. Yeah, thank you. I really like that.
I can't remember, so I have them all written down, so that's why I keep looking down.
So it sounds like you were really focused.
Yeah, I was on Peter Gassner, and then at one point I did feel like big pressure, and like I don't know what it was. And then I went, oh, I'm too tired. And she goes, and then I felt it all just disappear. And she goes, the head was almost out. You just put it back in. And I was like, oh, okay. And she's like, next one, you have to push. So James actually came out and broke my water, which I never even thought that my water broke. You know how you always think of it, the movies, and you're like, oh, the water breaks. Yeah. I never even thought how it never happened. So James broke it coming out with his, like, Superman, as they said. He had the hand out, pushing it through. And James was put straight on me. Or I did ask. I'm very, what's the word? I don't like blood. So I asked. I did say that to the midwife for my birth plan. I was like, can you just wipe him down or wipe the baby? I didn't know he was a he. And then I'd love skin to skin. So I got skin to skin. And then the delayed cord cut, it was all my birth plan. They were really good to follow it. And they questioned me and Peter while I was in labor to make sure, like, everything was going the way I wanted it to go. So I was really happy with that. And
how did you feel then when he was up on your chest?
In shock.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't get that, like, overwhelming joy that I hear a lot of moms do. I felt like I was like, did I just give birth to him? I just was in shock. So I remember then they were like, okay, you need to give birth to the placenta. And I don't really remember that. And then it's a blur after that. I hemorrhaged. Peter was given the baby, given James, and I was put on a bed. Then doctors and nurses came all around. Peter said he was terrified. He'd just seen that there was blood everywhere. And I was shaking. My whole body went into shock. I couldn't stop it. And all these nurses were trying to talk to me. And I just feel like I was in a blur zone. It feels like a dream. It didn't feel real. And they obviously controlled it and everything was fine. And then I got James. Oh, I do remember looking over at Peter and I said, Peter, take off your top. And he was like, what? And I was like, skin to skin, skin to skin. And I'm like, that's the only thing. Bar all the nurses and doctors around me. Like, Peter's a bit nervous about taking off his top. And I was like, you need to do skin to skin. Yeah, the shock. Then I had to get stitches. So I do remember hearing James cry in the background, but I was kind of high on gas and air at this stage that I was like, I could hear it, but I couldn't see him. And I could hear Peter talking, but I couldn't see him. They were just around a corner, but I was like, why? What's happening? It was weird. So I apparently lost 2 pints of blood.
Okay.
2 pints. And then I didn't need a blood transfusion, thankfully. And they kept checking my iron levels. They were pretty low, but by the time I was leaving, they had gone up. So I was there for, they gave us about an hour to be together with the baby on our own. And even that, like, you're busy texting all the family, because we never told anyone I was even in labor.
Okay.
I didn't want anyone constantly texting me. I didn't tell. It was just me and Peter. I wanted it to be our moment. I didn't want people ringing. Did you have it yet? I didn't. Or the fact that I didn't think I was in labor. I didn't want to get anyone excited. So that hour we just spent texting. Oh, and I did, sorry, I breastfed James. So as soon as I got him then, the midwife helped me bring him to the nipple and I breastfed him. So that hour we had together, it didn't feel like long. And then I was sent to the postnatal ward and Peter was gone. And I just felt so alone because I was kind of throwing a baby and I didn't know. I've obviously never breastfed before. I've never held a newborn. With COVID, all the moms, we were all alone, but at the same time, we didn't talk to each other. We were all lonely in ourselves. Like, I remember being told, you have to stay an extra night just to check your irons. And I cried. I was like, I just want to be with Peter or, like, someone to talk to or just to hold the baby for a second because I was scared to see James, like, to go bathroom. And then anytime I did go, I was kind of still hemorrhaging a bit. So there's a blood burst every now and again. I moved. So I felt like I just should stay in the bed. So I got my tea and toast, but it was cold. I was very disappointed. I heard all about this tea and toast. And when I got it, it was cold. Because they had to keep checking me for my bloods and blood pressure and everything. So I stayed two nights. And, you know, the second night of cluster feeding, I just felt like I was constantly up feeding him, trying to put him down, and then he'd wake again. So, like every mom, it was lonely or hard. But the day I got to bring him home was great. I cried when I seen Peter. Then we drove to both our sets of parents, though we weren't supposed to, and let them look in the window to see James, because this was both their first grandchild. Sorry, in Ireland, my parents have another one. And it was just, I was delighted to get home to my own bed, to have Peter to help me. And that was another bonus with COVID, was Peter was home because we were in the lockdown. So I had all the help and it was great. It was just the sense of I still wanted my mom, that I wanted her to help me. But I must say, the positive of it all was I got Peter home all that time. And that was James.
And so earlier on, you mentioned that people don't tell you that it's what specifically is hard about pregnancy and birth, and especially the postpartum stage. So did you find postpartum difficult?
I found postpartum difficult with James. Physically, it was the stitches, the tenderness, the first poo that no one tells you about. Or I didn't know about that either. As much as I researched and tried to be prepared, I don't know, I obviously missed out on a lot of that, or that my mom wouldn't tell me. The baby blues that I got a few days later, it was just a horrible sob over the place. It was mainly the physical, because I had stitches, it was all that. I didn't know. I just thought it was you give birth and that was it. There was no other pain after that. But I found the postpartum hard. So I tell a lot of my friends then, if they have kids, I was like, I found the hardest part was the afterbirth. Mm-hmm. Not the afterbirth, the postpartum recovery. But everybody's different, I suppose.
And how did the first couple of months look for you as a mum for the first time around during lockdown, I suppose? And did you have, I don't know, I can't even remember the start of the lockdown, but was your mum able to come and help?
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Do you at all?
No.
No.
She could look in her window.
How did you find that? I found that really, I didn't even want them to come to the window because it was would upset me that they could come in.
I don't know. I guess it was just what had to be the normal then.
Yeah.
It was just, it look in the window, advance to they could stand in the hall, then they yeah. advance to they could hold them with a mask, and then they could hold them. It took ages, and like this was their first grandchild they could hold, and it was sad for Deb as well as me. Like
of course.
All I wanted was them to hold them. But we had the bond that Peter and James got, and once he was here was unbelievable. And then it was just the negative was nobody else could be here to help. Yeah. We'd go for walks and they'd walk alongside us. It's crazy to think of what it was.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about this in a while. Crazy how scared we were. And yeah.
Do you remember crossing the road if someone was walking on the same?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Yeah.
Or going for walks, like I'd always be like, "Peter, move over, you're too close yeah. to the people." And
no one said hello to each other.
Oh yeah. It's terrifying. But yeah, I'm glad it's over. So with Patrick, because I thought that was crazy how I didn't have help, like all that lockdown madness, I was like, we're not having a kid till COVID's well and truly over.
Yeah.
And Peter was kind of like, oh, I'd like another one. And I was like, yeah. I was like, do you have to give birth? No, they don't really have a say. So after James, the doctor just briefly said to me, what do you do for contraception? And I said, oh, I think I might go back on the pill. She goes, all right, okay, signed off the pill, sent me on my way. I took the pill. But what I found was I had such terrible mood swings. I had gone back to work and I just felt not myself at all. And I got talking to a girl I work with and she said, she goes, sometimes it can be the pill after having a baby that your hormones are kind of up and down and everywhere. So I went off the pill. And let's say one night in Peter, we're like, oh, let's just risk it. That happened. It happens. Risk it and babies happen. So the early signs of Patrick was, it was weird. I've never heard this before, but like my knees and ankles were kind of sore. And I went to my boss and I was like, oh, I'm finding work really hard. I was like, I feel really stiff and stuff. And she's like, go to the doctor. And I was like, yeah, I think I will. And I went home that day and I told Peter, and Peter goes, well, just do a pregnancy test so we can just rule out pregnancy. And I was like, okay. So I really didn't think I was pregnant. And Peter came down and goes, the pregnancy test, I don't know what it was, said no. But then a minute later, it said yes. Peter came down with it, goes, it says you are pregnant. I was like, what? Oh, it must have been the strips. Sorry, this is what I mean. I don't remember. He was
how
the one
did
who
you
told
feel?
Me, so I,
sorry, how did you feel when you realized you were? Yeah.
In shock, because like I said, I didn't want to have another baby during COVID, all this pandemic. But at the same time, I was happy, obviously. I wanted another, because James was such a lovely baby. I was like, oh my God, I'd love another if it's as good as James. So I actually got signed off for work, because at the time I wasn't vaccinated, and because I worked with young kids and children with autism, we didn't wear a mask, and I was really scared of getting COVID because all these things were coming up that affects COVID when you were pregnant. So I got signed off, so which was a blessing because I could nap when James napped. Yeah. I was that tired with a toddler. So there's 20 months between them. Sorry. So at the time I was pregnant, was a year and a bit. And so I was repped looking after him, and then I could nap when he did. So the perks, I got signed off. I did go back to work eventually. So it was just the first trimester. It was nauseous and tiredness. So I didn't know if the tiredness was because of James or because I was pregnant. Then, because the restrictions were kind of on and off, I know a lot of people, I was signing petitions here and there and everywhere. Peter was at the time able to come to the 12 and 20 week scan. So I was happy he was able to come, but I was told, because I hemorrhaged on James, that I wouldn't be allowed to go back to the MLU, which I was upset about because I loved the relaxed atmosphere it was. And like, you could have mood lighting, I could have a bath, I could play music. They gave me incense of peppermint. It was lovely. And I kept asking, do you have something like this in the consultant led? And they were like, yeah, we have a room that you could go to and has the exact same as the MLU. And I was like, okay. So they told me the room number, and I was like, okay, remember the room number while I'm in labor. And I told Peter, like, you remember it. But of course you don't remember that thing. I didn't get pelvic pain with Patrick. Luckily, he wasn't as big as James. And all I kept being told by every appointment and every time I seen the doctor was, your labor was fast. It's going to be faster. They're like, you have to have a plan in place. And I was like, it was kind of scaring me. Yeah. They were saying that so much. They were like, I was like, all I was thinking was, I don't want it in the car. I don't want it in the ambulance. I don't want to have to go to the Garda station. So I was really scared of that, but I was fine.
What was the distance between where you live and the hospital?
40 minutes.
Okay.
So it's not too bad, but depending on obviously the time of day, he could be going at school, pickups, drop-offs. So I was like trying to think of everything. But
so what did they tell you? Did they give you the green light to basically come in whenever you felt anything?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were like, you've just gone through it. they're like, you know what it's like. So the week, it was obviously the 40 week checkup. She asked, she was like, would you like a sweet? And at this stage, I was just wrecked. I was like, yeah, give me the sweet. So this time I was more prepared of what it was. I was relaxed. The midwife talked to me and was like, oh, and what age is your son? And I was able to talk. I was able to breathe. And I didn't think it was as bad as the first time. So I had the sweep and I went home and I was like, oh, is this labor? But it was Braxton Hicks. When I have to question it, was what I was told by the midwife. If you question whether it's labor, it's not labor. So she was like, if you can't breathe or stand, that means you're in labor. So the whole week, like, we had it planned. Like, my mom was always on call for James. But the week after that sweep, James stayed out with my mom and dad's. I'm so lucky to have them that he'd stay there. But I'd spend the whole day there as Peter went to work so I could spend time with James. Because I felt like it hit me then. I was like, oh my God, this is the last time it's going to be just me and James. Mm. So I'd spend the whole day there and, like, I'd be upset leaving him. I was like, bye, next time I see him, I could have the baby. And so I think it was 4 or 5 nights. Like, I kept getting these, obviously Braxton Hicks, but I was like, this could be early labor. I don't know if it was early labor or Braxton Hicks. I have no idea. So day 5, I was like, Peter, like, these, the pains are happening every 5 minutes. And Peter was like, do you think they are? And I was like, no, I think I'll just go have a bath and you go on out. He was supposed to be meeting his friends who had come over from America. And I was like, go on, you can meet them. And they were like, how's Jillian? And Peter was like, well, we think she's in labor. And they're like, why are you here? And I was like, and Peter was telling me, like, should I come home? And I was like, no, I think I'm okay. And then I was like, no, actually, maybe come home. So he drove me to the hospital and I was being assessed. And she was like, she had the continuous thing on my belly. And she was like, you're having a contraction there. We can see it on the monitor. And I was like, I feel fine. I was like, I don't feel that at all. And she was like, I can't get, the baby keeps moving. She's like, I can't get a continuous heartbeat to kind of sign you off. And I was like, so I was there for an hour and obviously Patrick was just kept moving and they couldn't find him getting comfortable or being pushed out. I don't know what he was doing. And she was like, do you want to stay in or do you want to go home? And I was like, well, can Peter come in? And she goes, no, because there was, at the time, restrictions were kind of weird. I didn't know when he was allowed or not allowed. So he was waiting in the car, like, was it happening, was it not? And I walked out and he was like, so what happened? I was like, I'm in labor, but I don't feel it. And he was like, okay. So we went home. And the next night, I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I was like, Peter, or no, I didn't even wake Peter yet. I was like, oh, this feels like it. And I waited to see myself. I was like, yeah, that was 5 minutes. Oh, now it's 2-3 minutes. And then I was like, okay, I better wake up Peter. I was like, Peter, it's time to go. And he was like, okay. And he ran downstairs and he was like, do I have time to have a coffee? And I was like, yeah. I was like, it was really late. And I was like, yeah, have a coffee. And then I went, and Peter goes, doesn't look like I have time for a coffee. He's like, let's go. So we got in the car and, like, that 40 minutes, I think it was 30 minutes, because we were terrified.
Yeah,
I was going to have it in the car. Got to the hospital at 4 o'clock and I was in the assessment room. So the midwife was like, do you want to just go get me a urine sample? But I had gone past the opportunity of giving a urine sample. I was pooing and I couldn't even stand. I couldn't even sit in the toilet. I was like, oh my God, I don't feel right. So I went out to her and I was like, I gave her a trinkle of a sample of pee and she was like, okay, we'll try again in a few minutes. And I was like, I actually don't think there's going to be a few minutes. And she was like, okay, do you want to get up on the bed there and I'll just check that monitor? And I was like, I can't lie down. I was like, I just can't. And she was like, okay, I'll try to do it around your belly there. And I knelt down and I was like, no, I'm having the baby. And she was like, okay, I'll have to check you though. And I remember because obviously with James, my water broke when he came out. And I was like, yeah. Okay. I was like, something's after happening there. And she goes, yeah, your water just broke. And I was like, okay. And I was like, I was so in the zone of trying to get my breathing right. I had no gas and air. And I was like, okay, just relax. I was like, you can do it. And at one stage, I had to go, when can my husband come up? And she goes, oh, you can ring him there. So we were there at 4 o'clock. I rang him at 10 past four. And I was like, get up here. And he's like, okay, at 20 past four, Patrick was born. I just had the urge to push. Like, she never even got to check to see if I dilated. I was like, no, I know I'm about to have this baby. I knelt over the bed. I gave birth to him on my knees. So she had to catch him behind. And she said, she was like, we didn't, like, I didn't get it to the labor ward, a labor delivery suite. She was like, all I had was a pair of gloves to catch Patrick. And at the time, she was obviously behind me. And she was like, what? Do you want to know what you had? Or like, what the baby is? And I was like, no. And I cried. And I was like, my husband's supposed to tell me. And she was like, okay, but do you not seriously not want to know? And I was like, no, I just want my husband. And then I went, actually, what is it? And she's like, it's a boy. And I was like, oh my God. So she's like, get up on the bed. So I got up on the bed then, because I didn't obviously have a baby weighing me down. I didn't mind. And got my skin. They didn't rub him down. There was a lot of blood and poo on him, but I didn't mind. At that stage, I was just like, I can't believe this happened. So Peter came in. And the midwife was going out the door, obviously a second one. And she goes, oh, there's a surprise in there for you. And he was like, okay. And he walked in and I was like, I'm sorry, I had the baby. And he was like, it's okay. And he's like, what is it? And I was like, it's a boy. And I was just so emotional that he had missed it. Obviously, Pierre didn't want to see the pain or the blood and all that. He was just happy to see the baby and me okay. But I was just like, I can't believe you missed it. But like, it was all 20 minutes, really. Yeah. Like, it was just so quick. So he was on me skin. Then they were like, we'll move you to a labor suite. And so I was being wheeled around, like legs out. The placenta was still in me. So the cord, I wanted delayed cord cutting again. So we went to the labor suite and Peter got to cut it and they were like tugging at it. They were like, oh, it's not really ready to come out yet. And I was like, well, do you want me to breastfeed? That usually helps, doesn't it? And she was like, yeah, yeah, go ahead. So I did. And then I was able to give birth to the placenta. And this time I didn't hemorrhage. So okay. I was happy. They actually had me hooked up to oxytocin ready because they were afraid. They were had a plan in place, like, that I wouldn't hemorrhage again. So I had oxytocin and yeah, I'm trying to think there.
So how did, I've spoken to someone else about a precipitous birth and she said, I know a lot of people think, oh great, geez, you had the baby so quick, but it doesn't feel like that necessarily for the mother who's just given birth. It can be really shocking and not necessarily like the experience that you would like envisage. So how did you feel afterwards in the following hours?
I would have liked it to be in like what James was, where I felt relaxed and I was in a bath and all, I suppose birth plans don't always go your way. I felt it happen really quick and I didn't, not you enjoy birth, to be honest, but I did get that moment I wanted. I don't know. And I wanted Peter to be there. It was just that's what I kind of wanted the most was, like, I know the midwives, they're great. And she went to touch me at one stage to like calm me down, and like I was like, don't touch me. And she never near me after that, to obviously to catch Patrick, as she said. But I would just like Peter's been there, and yeah, just more of an experience. It was all just very quick.
And did you need stitches second time around?
Yeah. So by the time I went to the labor suite and I had to give birth to the placenta, it was sore and kind of raw down there.
Yeah.
That I was on gas and air just to help me relax, because it happened so quick with Patrick. Obviously didn't really think of it. It just, I started pushing and he was out. It was the thoughts then of the placenta, I was like, of pushing this out. So gas and air helped, and with the stitches, gas and air as well. There was a lot of blood and poo. They were like, do you want to have a shower? And I was like, I can't even move. I was like, I'm too sore down there. And they were like, do you want somebody to bath you or bathe you, wash you down? And I was like, okay. I never gave eye contact. It was so awkward. I was like, and I kept saying thank you to her. I was like, thank you, and thank you. And she was like, it's fine, it's fine. And I was like, oh my God. I just couldn't move from the bed. But the room I was in was the room they kept telling me to ask for.
Ah, cool.
That was going to be like the MLU room. So I was like, well, this is the room I could have been in. And I was like, if Patrick didn't want to come so quick. Like, all I was thinking afterwards, like, that's in an assessment room. So I was there the night before, and there was a girl beside me in the bed being assessed at the same time. Luckily, no one else came in that time, because I just gave birth there, that they would have walked in. And yeah, if that was their first baby to see that, me giving birth. But anyway, it was just, yeah, I got stitches. It was a bit sore. Peter could stay a bit longer, which was also nice. They offered him tea and toast because it's so dramatic for him. And he walked me down to the postnatal ward. So even that I didn't have with James.
Yeah.
And he was like, do I stay? Do I go? And I was like, oh no. I was like, it's not really fair because the other moms don't have their partners. At the time, you could only stay till 9, I think. So I was like, okay, you better go. So yeah, I was a bit more comfortable. Like, I was able to sit up with my knees crossed while I was breastfeeding. Like, with James, I was so scared to move because anytime I moved, blood would come out. Whereas Patrick, I was like, oh, it's fine. I didn't lose as much. So I was a bit more comfortable.
So
and I was only there.
Yeah, I was gonna say, when did you get home?
I was only there a day.
Okay.
And came home. I did ask, I don't know if they offered that I go home. See, it happened in the middle of the night, so 12 o'clock. I was there. Yeah, I stayed an extra night, I suppose, because he was born in the middle of the night, then I stayed another night. They asked, did I want to go home? And I said, I'd rather stay one more night just to spend time just me and Patrick before.
Yeah, exactly.
I had to go home to James. So, yeah, I only there 2 nights. And
what did the postpartum early days look like for you? That did you feel, obviously you didn't feel the same discomfort, but how did you feel adjusting to being a mom of two?
I found adjusting to mom of two was tough. The balance, it was just the balance between Patrick and James, like, obviously you have to give Patrick a lot of attention, but once he was asleep, I'd give James attention. So I was exhausted, and lockdown and restrictions were all pretty much gone. This was April 2022. So February 2022, Patrick was born. Peter had gone back to work, so I was kind of on my own with the two boys. My mom and dad had gone to Australia again. So I did have my in-laws, but you do go back to your mom. You always want your mom. So it was hard just giving, because I felt bad for James. He wasn't getting the attention, but So Patrick's a newborn, so I had to. But I did eventually find the balance. Was it like 4 or 5 months in? And that was another thing nobody told me, is it can be hard. And then myself mentally, it was hard. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I wasn't myself, and Pierre was getting the brunt of it. Is that the word? Mm-hmm. Was getting the worst of it. So I would lash out at Pierre, and Pierre was like, "You have to talk to someone." And I was like, "There's nothing wrong." I was like, "Nothing." So I went to the doctor and I kind of explained what was happening, and she was like, "Yeah, you've postpartum anxiety." And I was like, "Oh, right." I never understood what anxiety was. That's why I didn't know what I had. So she said it was common because I had two babies kind of fast. And yeah, it just happens with hormones as well. She's like, you're taking on too much. And she said, you need to ask for help. And that was a big thing for me. I don't like asking for help. I was like, dear, my kids, I felt like I'm the mom, I have to do everything. So I had to slowly ask Peter to do more. Like, Peter was doing loads. It was just, I had to do it my way, and he wasn't doing it fast enough or doing it the way I wanted to. So I had to kind of just step back and go, okay, Peter can do these things. I can relax. Patrick was bottle fed, so it wasn't a lot of pressure on me to breastfeed him, and I could be more comfortable spending time with James or getting out for walks on my own, that I didn't have to worry about coming back to breastfeed. So yeah, it was just a real eye-opener. I didn't realize that was another thing. Like, I heard of postpartum depression, and I was like, I don't feel depressed, I just feel like if we were going anywhere, I'd be so anxious. And like, if the boys cried, I'd be like, oh my god, I have to calm down now. Or if something wasn't packed, I'd have to go home. I was just like, I can't, like, I couldn't just let it go. Like, I wouldn't be an anxious person any other time. So I did get antidepressants, and big change, more relaxed, and I asked for a lot more help. Like, I talked to my family about it, and I said, if I feel worked up, I won't ask for help, but maybe if you just look at my face, I was like, you can tell, and just take James and bring him outside, or take Patrick just for a few minutes. Like, what I find hardest is having the two. If I just have one, I can bear it. Whereas the two of them crying and needing their mom was I found the hardest. So I was glad I could talk to my family about it, and Peter and some of my friends, so I could say, I need help, but I don't like asking for help. So it was hard, but I'm getting better.
Yeah, it is hard. It's super hard. And even those pockets, just your example there of just going outside. Like, if Sean comes home, because I find having two children really overwhelming. I don't know how people can have more than two, because it just blows my mind having two.
I'm the same. I'm like, with two, we're done. I can't.
Yeah. And if all I need from Sean is just, I need to go upstairs and just maybe scroll on my phone for 10, 15 minutes, just not be around them. And then I come back and I'm fine. And I'm chilled out again. I just need those few minutes away, or just to literally just go for a walk around the estate. That's all I need. And it just gives you a breather. But yeah, no, I'm there with you with the finding two, like, 20 kids. Feels like I'm 20 and it's only two.
I know. Oh, and like, that's where I look back at, like, years ago, how did
Irish
families have so many kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks so much for it. Actually, I feel more relaxed. I thought I was going to be really anxious about telling the story, but I feel a lot better.
Good, you did a great job. Good.
Thank you.
Deadly, go to bed.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye, bye, bye. I hope you enjoyed my chat with Gillian. I have tagged her in the show notes as well, and also in the Instagram post that I popped up on the page on Sunday, yesterday. If you would like to share your story, you're more than welcome to. Just get in touch over the website, irelandsbirthstories.ie. Click on the Share Your Stories tab and I will get back to you as soon as possible. Have a good week. I hope everyone stays well, and I will chat to you hopefully next week with a brand new episode. Take care.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.